Our institutions have become corrupt. Unconstitutional agencies are infringing on your rights. What will it take for you to open your eyes to the tyranny at hand? You're an American born with unalienable rights, yet those rights are being trampled every day by unelected busybodies. Your liberty was secured by strong men and women of yesterday. Are you willing to let it slip away? You're listening to the Dangerous Info Podcast with Jesse James.
Look. They want everybody to forget and forgive everything that happened during the pandemic. We were all in the dark. We were all afraid. Like, nah, bitch. Like, that was like we all got kidnapped and put together on an island, and then all of y'all bastards were like, we should eat them. And we're like, what the fuck? And then now they took us off the island, and we're just looking at you on the ride home like, and you're like, oh, wasn't that crazy? And we're like, nah, bitch, you tried to eat us. I didn't kick you out of no stores. I didn't ruin your job. I didn't tell you you couldn't come to the family reunion. I didn't tell you you had to drop dead of a heart attack because you didn't get the jab, so you're not welcome at this hospital. There ain't nothing to forgive on my side, baby boo. This is a you problem, and we're still talking about it.
Ah, yes, welcome to the Blood Moon. The lunar eclipse, everybody. It is Monday night. Pre-election night, Monday. This is November 7th, 2022. No amnesty for the wicked. And tonight's featured guest is Chris Ann Hall. You guys know her, you guys love her. And remember, you guys, it's all about a global tax system and a one-world government-based control grid. It's all a scam to control the entire population from top down as they dissolve our countries into their system. Prepare accordingly, brothers and sisters. Prepare accordingly. Welcome to the Dangerous Info Podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Jesse James. And he's your Outcast host. Outcast, how you doing, my brother?
I'm blessed, brother. How about you?
You are our Outcast host.
I'm the co-host.
Yeah.
I'm the Ed McMahon to your Johnny Carson.
That's whatever it is, it's working, man. I like it.
Very good, Johnny.
All right, you guys, don't forget, today's supporters are you. You guys are the well-informed audience of the Dangerous Info Patriots. I will not take funding from someone or something that wants to control what we say, which is why I set up these sponsor options on Subscribestar.com. And if you guys want to become a Subscribestar, you can. Just like these great patriots right here. Jill Bark, Ryan Mansfield Show, Carmen Rosario, Kenneth Allen, Chad Geyer, Patriot Miller, and Cheryl E. Outcast, how you doing tonight?
I'm pretty good. It's Monday night. You know, I'm a little tired with the time change. I hate that stupid time change. It makes me feel off kilter.
Well,
but other than that, I'm good.
I think we have one more time change back in the spring here, or go backwards in the spring, or spring ahead, whatever it is in 23. I believe that's the last one that we have, right?
What? Are they going to get rid of it, you mean?
Yeah. I think there was some sort of a vote or something happened a couple years ago, and I think it's over in the spring of 23 for us anyway.
Oh, I didn't know that went through. I knew that was being talked about. I didn't know it went through. That's exciting to hear because I'm about over it.
Yeah, I know. I'm sick of it. Let's pick one and stay with it. I never liked it.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? The blood moon. At 3 a.m., we have a blood moon, a lunar eclipse tonight. And, you know, of course, that's on the early morning hours of the election tomorrow.
Yeah, isn't that interesting, isn't it?
It is, the way that falls. It's been decades since it's happened before and decades since it's going to happen again. So it's always always exciting. There's nothing ever left anymore to that's going to, you know, surprise us, I guess. I don't know.
You know, just for some clarity, to clarify, last episode I mentioned Jupiter in the sky.
Yeah.
And my buddy John, who is a regular listener, he contacted me and wanted more clarification why I brought that up. And for our listeners out there, if anybody was wondering what I was getting at, I don't, this is for you to do a deep dive on. I'm not an expert in this area, but I will tell you that in Lebanon, there is a gigantic temple. When I say gigantic temple, this temple is in an area called Baalbek, B-A-A-L, which Baal is the root word of Beelzebub, which is another name for the devil.
Yeah.
And this temple is made with foundational stones that are 10 tons each. There is absolutely no technology that could move these stones, let alone fit them in place. It's just beyond explanation. But this temple is also known as the Temple of Jupiter. And Jupiter in antiquity is oftentimes synonymous with Satan. And we have been looking at, for the last at least month, Jupiter, very prominent in the sky, moving from roughly the east, slowly to the southeast, and now it's to the south right now. And I just think it's interesting that everybody I talk to, everywhere I go, even today, everybody feels off kilter, out of sorts. They know they're being gaslit at every angle. Everybody's frustrated. And I just think it's interesting. Now we got a blood moon on an election. it's just put it all in a stew together, and we are living in chaotic times, brother. It seems like the end is nigh on some level.
Well, it's definitely nigh, and I think it's high and nigh. It's high time for everything, you know. And tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon around 4:30 works for me. So, you know, bring it on, Jesus.
We shall not know the day nor the hour.
No, but we are here to occupy, and that's what we must do is occupy, not get taken over by any of these crazy people that we keep hearing about talking all their nonsense about this, whatever it is. I mean, they're always talking this crazy nonsense, and, you know, it's never ending. It's a never ending, a tail chaser, right? Like,
yeah,
we're always stuck
and
in this cycle, man.
And as Dr. Zelenko called them, devolved pagans.
That's exactly what
they are. That's what they are. That's what nothing that they do or say makes any sense whatsoever. It just feels like we're just descending into just chaos.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know what? Before we get on with the show here at the top, I want to have you take us into prayer, right? Because before Chris Ann comes on and we get into this whole pre-election night, big show tonight, you guys. Big show. I'm sure Chris Ann's got a lot to say. And we got a lot to cover. There's a lot of stuff going on. You know, this is the first show of November. You know, November is the season now. It just seemed like yesterday it was Halloween. Now that's gone. We're into a whole nother, you know, mind shift here. So if you would be so kind, brother, why don't you hit us up with one of them prayers of yours?
Dear Heavenly Father, we pray to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, my heart goes out today to anybody who's struggling with addiction of any kind. I pray that you'll break every chain. And for those who are grieving, we pray that you'll be their companion. And to those who are caregivers, Lord, we ask that you give them encouragement. To those who are injured or sick, we pray that you'll give them healing. And for those who are dying, we ask that you give them a peaceful transition into your arms, Lord. And for those who are depressed and anxious, we pray that you'll lift them out of the slimy pit of despair and put them on solid ground with you. And Lord, if there's any mentors and or teachers out there, we ask that you will give them, you'll protect them from any attacks from the evil one that would stop their progress and their work for your kingdom. And if there's any pastors out there, Lord, we ask that you will give them the heart of the Lion of Judah so that they shall defend the Bible and fight for truth and stop capitulating to the world and stop worrying about keeping people in the pews, Lord, but rather upholding your word. Lord, as we head into this election, we're always uneasy. I don't think that you're particularly political. Your truth and your knowledge is beyond what we do down here as little silly with our silly little elections. But we know that elections matter, Lord, and we ask that your will be done. And even if it looks dire or ugly, or if it looks stolen or broken, we know that you're in control, Lord. And we pray that you'll remind us of that and not give us dismay, not let us be angry or upset or fearful, because we know that you're in control of all of this, Lord. Furthermore, we ask that you anoint Jesse and my lips and Chris Ann's lips, organize our thoughts to present them to our listeners so they're cohesive and they have meaning and they have inspiration, and that we move together as a one body of people who love you and want to serve you and want to see truth and justice prevail in the world, Lord. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen, brother. Thank you. You know, I think that you talked about Jesus not being political. I think it was 100% political. If you read those scriptures, and it was done in a political tone. Now, I'm not talking about parties or anything, but talking about those that want to rule over us, those of darkness that want to rule over us. That was all political stuff. You know, I believe
the powers, warning us of the powers and the principalities of this world.
Exactly. That's what I was trying to say, and I couldn't remember it, but that's what I'm talking about. Yep. I think it was 100% political.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the Bible's pretty clear that we should be, behave within the confines of the law that is given to us.
Yep.
But at the same time, it says that we're at war with the powers and the principalities. You know, some people complain that the Bible's kind of contradictory, but I think that there's a lot of complexity. It's not, if it was contradictory, it'd be these hard rules that with no answers and we just had to obey them.
Yep.
It kind of gives us different angles to look at things. On one side, you can say, well, do I obey the law or do I fight this fruitless deeds of darkness and expose them, right? There's a fine line for all of this. We need to, you know, we have to take a stand at some point. Otherwise, we just get trampled by injustice.
And remember, laws here are made by man, and not all laws are just. There's a lot of unjust laws that are here that the people need to put down and put to bed.
That's a great point. And when you think about it, too, we're looking at a situation where our Constitution and our founding fathers, no matter what people say, I don't believe it. The foundation had spiritual roots, you know.
Oh, 100%. Yes.
100%. Yeah. And they're there. And now we have people saying, oh, that Constitution's outdated. It's irrelevant. Well, it's the seeds of the serpent who want us to think that. Why? Because they hate truth.
Yeah.
Truth makes them sick.
You know what? You bring that up to Chris Ann Hall and she'll tell you so much. Maybe we should open with that.
All right. That sounds good to me.
And open with that because she's got so much information on the spirituality of the founding fathers. It's great.
Awesome. I love it.
Hey, gold and silver. Listen to this. There it is. That's my silver sitting right here next to me. Gold closed today at $1,679. Silver closed at $20.82.
Oh, silver's up again.
Yeah, well, it's still not anywhere where it should be, but it is
no.
You know, great. Keep going and buying, you guys. Stack these things. And remember, there is on our subscribestar.com, there is a an option there that you can get this. I'm holding it right now in my hand. The silver. It's a fundraiser for the show, and guys, if you want to get that, you should get that because it's like I said, it's going to help fundraise for the show. Plus, it's going to have put some silver into your own pocket, into your own stash. So,
Can I interject something real quick that just popped in my head?
Yeah.
So somebody I know who is kind of dialed into the mainstream media, so they're kind of, once again, like J.C. Hall says, flotsam and jetsam. I love that. You know, these people that are flotsam and jetsam, this person's one of them. And she said, oh, the news said you shouldn't make any big purchases right now.
What is she mean, big purchase? Like
anything.
What?
Cars. Cars, roofs, whatever. Any stuff, you know,
okay.
Big purchases.
Yep.
Now, so let's dissect that for a second. I don't have the decoder ring here, but my gut tells me whatever the mainstream media says, you do the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm getting at is if we're looking at the dollar potentially losing value, which it already has, that's why your groceries cost twice as much as they did just 6 months ago. Then maybe now should be the time if you need a new roof or you need a new furnace,
mm-hmm.
don't listen to those mainstream knuckleheads. While the dollar still has some value left, maybe you should get on that. I'm just thinking out loud, but that's what my gut's telling me.
I agree. I mean, you know, my thought is, you know, my gut is telling me to turn these fiat dollars right now while they're still holding some value, turn these green fiat dollars into something that's real. All right.
Lead, gold, silver, or lead.
Gold, silver, lead, food, storable food, tractors,
guns.
You know, firearms, anything, you know, chicken coops, chickens, animals, things that are real, things are tangible, things that are help you sustain a better life. Generator. I talked to JC. I talked to him about a generator, and they ended up getting one. After they went through that hurricane last month. So yeah. there's a lot there to turn into.
That's a great recommendation, by the way.
Yeah, turn into something real. So you guys might want to think about that too. All right, let's see here.
Just want to throw that in the mix. I didn't mean to throw you off there.
No, that was good, man. That was real good. We're going to have to get a hold of Kirsten here in just a minute. But, it always seems like whatever the media tells you, the mainstream media tells you, you know, we've said this before on the show, do the opposite of what they're telling you or listen up to the opposite of what they're telling you, because that's where the truth is going to be. They're not going to come out and tell you truth about anything. So it's like if you want to read the media, the way to do that is do the exact opposite of what they're talking about.
I was trying to figure out what their motive would be to tell people to not spend. And I'm thinking, well, maybe they're just really trying to put the nail in the coffin with the economy, kill all these little small businesses off entirely by telling people not to go to your local furnace company or your local roofer or your local whatever you need done, mm-hmm. telling people to back off and kill these. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. It's just where my conspiratorial mind goes. But yeah. For the media to step in and tell people now is not the time to buy any major purchases, I just feel like going,
Yep.
Weird.
It's crazy. Hey, brother, look, it's about 7:30. So let's jump into this break and then call her and get going on this big pre-election night show. All right. No amnesty for the wicked, you guys. We'll be right back after this.
As energy costs skyrocket here at home and even higher abroad, the rift between Senator Joe Manchin and the White House grows. Recently, President Joe Biden vowed to close every single coal plant in America. This would make electric bills higher than the average rent payment and mortgage payment, since the country is heavily dependent on coal and nuclear energy. Senator Manchin responded to President Biden by saying, "President Biden's comments are not only outrageous and divorced from reality, they ignore the severe economic pain the American people are feeling because of rising energy costs." So Manchin says, are you crazy? Do you know how expensive energy bills are right now and how divorced you sound from reality, threatening to shut down the number one producer of electricity in our country? Manchin went on to say, "Comments like these are the reason the American people are losing trust in President Biden."
Welcome to the strongest economy in American history, patriots. Yup, this is the lunacy they are gaslighting you with. You're listening to the Dangerous Info Podcast with your host, Jesse James.
All right, you guys, you remembered Kirsten. You love Kirsten. It's KirstenHall.com and LibertyFirstSociety.com. Constitutional attorney Kirsten Hall brings your current events from historical, constitutional, and principled perspective. Liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over personality. Kirsten Hall, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm fantastic. I was listening to what you were playing before, and in the guy that was talking said, "This is why the American people are losing trust in Biden." And I just kind of sort of scratched my head and I thought, who actually trusts him? I mean, how can you lose something you never had?
Exactly. Well, he must be talking directly to the left there, because you're right. I don't trust him. I don't think anybody that's listening to the show trusts him, as far as we can throw him.
Well, look, I don't trust Donald Trump.
No, I don't trust any of them.
I don't trust anyone in government. If you're in the business of trusting government, Thomas Jefferson, you said you're already a slave.
That's so true. You know, before you came on the show, we were talking and we got into some spiritual talk, right? And Outkast here talked about the spiritual roots of our founders and how, a lot of people on the left are trying to say, distance the spiritual roots of the founders from this country. And I told him, I said, no, no, no. We have to ask Chris Ann because I know for sure you, I've heard you talk about this before and how deeply rooted they were in their faith when they put this country together.
Well, you know, they were people. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's just be real. Richard Henry Lee said, it is true. We are not disposed to differ much about religion at the present, but they did differ. And there was a difference, so much so that they wanted to create and they envisioned an even greater diversity in religious beliefs. So they wanted, with that vision of an expanding America, with a vision of a greater diversity of beliefs in America, that's why we have the First Amendment, which is to guard all those religious liberties of everyone. He said that we should make a constitution where all will be equally free, Jews, Turks, pagans, and Christians. So we have to be really, really careful about how we classify what they did and who they were. And it really isn't, can I just be real with you today? It's really not a banner that we are taught, that we are taught accurately. I mean, if we understand the religious history of the formation of America, it's not entirely a pretty one, if I can just tell you. Mm-hmm. Because as Richard Henry Lee is remarking at the time that we're debating on the adoption of the Bill of Rights, you know, it's true we are not disposed to differ much present about religion. What they did to each other in those differences, you see, most people do not understand the great atrocities that happened in the American colonies, because the colonies were built not on religious liberty, but on religious government. For example, Massachusetts had a law as their colony that if any shipman were to import a Quaker into Massachusetts, the shipman would be imprisoned and the Quaker would be hung. And so we have a pretty violent history of Christians persecuting, executing Christians for denominational differences. So I realize that a lot of people talk about how, you know, this the depth of the Christianity of our founders, but we really have to be truthful in the fullness of that history, as Patrick Henry said, to know the whole truth so that we can prepare for it. Because here's the problem. If we don't discuss the things that went wrong, we'll never understand how not to repeat them.
Right.
So religious liberty was created as a foundational principle. James Madison wrote in 1792 that your liberty of conscience was your greatest property, your most sacred possession of property. And so we have to be very careful, because a lot of times, you know, you pick the good and leave out the bad, and then you get a misunderstanding. You get people running around saying we're a Christian nation. Well, we're not a Christian nation, because when you take that term Christian and nation together, what you're actually saying is that America is built on a theocratic principle, mm-hmm. that the government prefers Christianity over everyone else. And that's just not who we are. We're built on religious liberty.
Right. Yeah, I think that's where
I just hijacked your conversation or anything. Kind of brought me in blind.
That's great.
I was telling you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just digesting, because you know the truth is it's fascinating, because I think what we're experiencing that sets us off a little bit as Christians per se is we can sense, now it is biblical, this is going to happen anyways, there's nothing we can do about it, but we can sense that they are trying to make us into third-rate citizens, or that we don't count. But what our founders were saying is, we don't care what you are, but you're all equally, there's no, right?
You're equally free. You're equally free. Religious liberty is an equal possession.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. And your rights are equally protected as well as being equally free.
Right, exactly.
And what we sense, I think, is a system now that wants to denigrate and or deconstruct whatever Christianity there is left. So they're picking and choosing. We're going to support these guys. We're going to oppress these guys. We're going to silence these people. We're going to lift these people up. Right.
Yeah.
That's where I think people get prickly. Is that a fair assessment of what you were saying? Kind of.
It is a fair assessment, but the unfortunate reality is, you know, like, in the story of Esther, how Haman created the gallows upon which, you know, for Mordecai, upon which he himself hung. The sad reality is, and, you know, I mean, I apologize to the new listeners who have absolutely no idea who I am and are not used to me being the plain spoken truth bringer that I am. The reality is that you can really tie what's happening to the Christians back to the Christians. When Christians are trying to make government a Christian-focused government, what we've actually done is given government the tools to actually oppress Christians. So when you want government to be preferring Christianity and focusing on Christianity and really criticizing other religions, what we've done through a long history of lack of understanding of these principles of religious liberty is we've created our own gallows, because our government was never supposed to hold any power to be involved in anything spiritual. But it's the Christians so many, many decades ago that invited the government in and continues to invite the government in, creating a situation where they now have the sword to take us down.
And that's what we're experiencing every day. We see that happening.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, if you take by way of example, the LGBTQ plus 64, whatever they call themselves now, their fight for gay marriage, mm-hmm. right? There would be no fight for gay marriage if the Christians hadn't turned marriage over to government those many years ago.
Yeah.
Because now the Christians are like, a marriage is a union between a man, a woman, and God, and not a man and a man, and not a woman and a woman. Well, I'm sorry, you spoiled that in the 30s when you said that marriage is a union between a man, a woman, and government. The LGBTQ does not want the church to recognize, to sanction their marriage. They want government to sanction our marriage. And if we had never brought government into the marriage picture for a tax break or whatever it is, then we would have been able to engage and maintain marriage as a cultural thing, as a union between a man, a woman, and God that happens in a church. The problem is now the LGBTQ wants to invade the church because the church brought government into the equation. Yep. And the sad thing is people don't even realize it. Jesse, you know, every time a pastor stands up and says, and by the authority vested in me in the state of Florida, every time a pastor says that, the pastor is declaring themselves to be an agent of the government, not an agent of God.
Mm-hmm. That's, yeah, and that's, you know, when that whole thing happened, when Obama brought in the old gay marriage, you know, passed all that, my big response to that to my friends and everybody was asking me about it. I was like, look, you guys, they shouldn't be involved in any of our marriages. I don't know why you guys are celebrating this. They should not be even ours. My wife and I, myself, it should have been between us and God. That's it.
Yep.
And
your pastor.
Yeah.
You and the church. And yep. That's it.
But people don't even think that way anymore, Chrisanne. It's just so frustrating. We're down such a deep rabbit hole off the subject, but this is still a great information. You know, something that people need to think about. That never thought about that, because, you know, I explained to somebody the other day, government should not be that should be the furthest thing from our mind, but they're so involved, entrenched in everything that we do every day, school, medicine, and it does, everything. It's just nuts.
And this really does affect voting and legislation and everything. You know, I mean, we have the elections tomorrow. Do you have an audience in Arkansas that you know of?
Yeah, we have listeners there.
Okay. Well, Arkansas has a constitutional amendment on the ballot called Issue 3 that will give, it's crazy, it's titled Religious Freedom, but it is not a religious freedom amendment. It is actually the exact opposite. It is written in such a way that it empowers government to shut down the church and to mandate people to do things contrary to their religion if government can show what they call a compelling governmental interest. So what Arkansas, and this is done by the religious right. There's a senator by the name of Raypert. There's a lot of religious organizations that are pushing this. And what they're saying is that I'm an idiot. I don't know what I'm talking about. But what they're really doing is inserting into the Constitution the exception to your rights that if governments can prove a compelling governmental interest, then they have an authority to shut down your church. They have an authority to mandate you to do things contrary to your conscience. And that's the wording that everyone needs to be wary of. And that's the language that is the antithetical destruction of religious liberty. So basically what this amendment does in Arkansas adds to the Arkansas Constitution, which, by the way, I've studied all 50 constitutions. And the Arkansas Constitution has one of the strongest constitutions for religious liberty. It literally says no law, no law, no law whatsoever formed by humankind. I mean, the language is so strong. I don't understand why you need anything better than no hand by humans, no law by humans, right?
Right. It's almost like they had a secret weapon there when they wrote that.
Right. And now they want to add to the Constitution, no law except when the government has a compelling governmental interest.
Mm.
And that terminology, compelling governmental interest, is just merely the saying, but from a legal perspective, if the government has a good enough reason or a good enough excuse or a big enough emergency, then they have the authority to shut you down and to mandate you do things contrary to your conscience.
You know what?
And that's why really understanding what religious liberty is all about is so important.
Yeah. You know, that sounds exactly like that meme that I wrote last year that went viral. If you allow the government to break the law for an emergency, they will create emergencies to break the law.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez, and we're seeing it right now.
And then in Arkansas Issue 3 is trying, if they pass Arkansas Issue 3 will add to the Constitution the government has the authority if they have an emergency.
There you go. Nailed it right on the head. Looks like, okay, so here in Michigan, we have our three proposals, the top three state proposals. All three seek to change the Michigan Constitution. And they're horrific. Mm-mm. They are horrific, Chrisanne. I tell people all the time, you know, I make these little voter guides and I send them out to people. I text them to people and then I put them, whoever wants them, they can ask me for them and I send it to them. So I did them this year and I talk about how these new proposals that are going to look to change the Constitution here in Michigan, how deceptive they are in the way that they're worded.
Yeah.
You know, you read the top and they read so nicely. You go down about nine lines and it's complete chaos. But people,
they do that on purpose.
Yeah. It's like these big giant bills, these omnibus bills, the Patriot Act, all that stuff. It's just people are mesmerized by something that sounds nice, but they don't read anything down below.
Yeah, and you don't, and when then you have conservatives pushing it, religious organizations pushing it, people are unsuspectingly just surrendering their own liberty. Mm-hmm. I have a very, so we work with Liberty First Action, which the website is lfanow.com. And there are ballot recommendations, voter guides there for 7 of the counties in Florida. So we do that locally. And one of the things that I always tell people when we create the voter guides is that we don't endorse any constitutional amendment mm-hmm. unless it's actually a constitutional issue. Most constitutional amendments are legislative issues that the legislators have been too weak, too lazy, or too ignorant to do through legislation. So what they try to do is they turn them into ballot initiatives to pollute up the Constitution because they can trick the people into voting yes. And now you have something that is actually should be legislation as a constitutional amendment. And Florida is stupid to elephantine proportions with our constitutional amendments. The people of Florida actually ratified many years ago a constitutional amendment that gave pregnant pigs a constitutional right to a certain size of cage.
What? Are you seriously? A pig?
Yes. Pregnant pigs. And that's how the legislators use these ballot initiatives to trick the people to emotionally change their constitution. Thomas Jefferson warned us a long time ago that we should not be altering the constitution for light and transient reasons.
Mm-hmm. Which is where, why they made
we
it,
do.
Yeah, that's why they made it so difficult to change things. But you come up with these proposals. That's what I'm saying is like these proposals, my whole lifetime of voting, I can't remember one that I voted yes for. It's like my thought when it comes to any of these things is we can't afford it. We don't need it.
And the bad thing is that the state has made it too easy to change the Constitution.
Yes.
The U.S. Constitution is enormously difficult to change, and the states should be that way, too.
You know, I'm looking at your...
Your Constitution is supposed to be a contract with the people to create government based on unchanging principles. And we just pollute our constitutions with stuff that shouldn't be there.
Right. You know, I wasn't under the impression, maybe it's supposed to be this way, but it's just not anymore, that none of these things can be done without action from the legislation first here in our states. But how can these things bypass and just go into a simple proposal or a ballot initiative? How can that just be? I mean, who writes these things? That's one thing.
It differs from state to state.
Yeah.
So each state constitution establishes how the constitution can be amended. And it sounds to me that Michigan has what Florida has, and they have a ballot initiative where the people can collect a number of petitions, then the Supreme Court reads the ballot, and the initiative to be put on the ballot, and they say whether it's constitutional or not, and then it gets on the ballot, and then, like in Arkansas, you need a simple majority. In Florida, you need a supermajority. So to amend the Constitution, you have to have 60% of the people approve it. Mm. Now I don't know what it is in Michigan, but it does sound like you have a ballot initiative kind of constitutional amendment clause.
Yeah, I haven't looked that far enough like I should have probably, but I just know that, you know, I went in there and I looked at who's funding it, and it's all these big giant leftist groups that are funding these things.
There's
Planned Parenthood, they put money in there, DTE, they've got money in there, just these big, you know, leftist, I don't know if you call them lobbyist groups or whatever they are, but they are just funding these to the tunes of hundreds of millions of dollars over here. It's insane.
No, and just vote no.
Exactly. Exactly. That's on my little voter guide that I send out. That's it. We can't afford it. We don't need it, you guys. So, you know, this show here, I titled it No Amnesty for the Wicked. And that's coming from mm-hmm. that article. You probably heard it last week from The Atlantic, that Emily Oster writer. know, let's declare a pandemic amnesty. Let's focus on the future and fix the problems we still need to solve. So should I read this? Are you familiar with the story? I'm sure you are.
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with the story.
I'm going to read this first paragraph for those who aren't. Okay. In April 2020, with nothing else to do, my family took an enormous number of hikes. We all wore cloth masks that I had made myself. We had a family hand signal, which the person in front would use if someone was approaching on the trail, then we needed to put our mask on. Once another child got too close to my then four-year-old son on a bridge, he yelled at her, "Social distancing." These precautions were totally misguided. In April 2020, no one got the coronavirus from passing someone else hiking. Outdoor transmission was vanishingly rare. Our cloth mask made out of old bandanas wouldn't have done anything anyway. But the thing is, we didn't know. Chrisanne, maybe they didn't know, but we were yelling at the top of our lungs trying to fight all this stuff. I don't say get no amnesty for you. I say you lose your job, you go to jail, you pay for what you've done. Think about all the craziness they put people through in those last 2 years.
Well, maybe I have a different kind of perspective, okay? Because I know we knew, and there were doctors that knew, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
But the people, the general population didn't know. Right. The ones that were doing everything and they were unsuspectingly.
Yep.
They were played. So I'm willing to give amnesty. What a stupid thing. I'm willing to offer forgiveness to those who did what they did out of ignorance. OK, I'm willing to offer forgiveness under the condition that it never happened again. But here's the thing that I agree with. Responsibility and accountability has to happen. And that needs to happen with the American Medical Association and the colleges mm-hmm. and the politicians that destroyed the lives of the doctors who spoke up, who destroyed the lives of the people who spoke up, who fired people for not getting vaccinated and for not wearing masks. The accountability has to happen at the top, not at the bottom. And that's where I believe the real accountability has to happen. The sad thing is this, and I told everybody this on my podcast 2 years ago. The very, very sad thing is this. The entire pandemic was designed so that the people who were truly accountable would never be touched. And that would be the pharmaceutical companies. The government has set up their own immunities to protect the pharma, big pharma that funds them. Big pharma, big banks, they're all the same people. They run the world. And they're the ones that should be accountable, but they're not. But what they did, and this is what we're going to see, what they did was they set up the businessmen, they set up the military commanders. They set everybody along the chain of the command in the civil and in the military world to take a fall for them. And so what you're going to see, and you're seeing now, you're going to see businesses, employees who have been harmed suing their businesses. You're going to see military suing their commanders, and they're going to win. And people are going to be like, see, this is justice. It's illusion of justice. These people were set up to be scapegoats. And the real justice would be in taking, making the pharmaceutical companies and the Faucis and the CDCs and the WHOs, making them accountable because they had full knowledge, they lied, and they murdered people.
Yeah. Are you talking about the PREP Act that helped hide all them? And I mean, that's part of it. That's just the PREP Act when they brought that out.
That's just a small piece of it.
Yeah.
Pharmaceutical companies have had amnesty, immunity for decades.
Yeah, since 1986, I think, for the Vaccine Injury Act or whatever that was.
Well, even before then, even before the legislative act, nobody was allowed to sue them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you sue them, but the judges are in their pockets. You don't win.
Right.
And when you're dealing with people with such deep pockets, it costs the victim so much to sue that they really can't sue because the government, because the pharmaceutical companies have, they have endless, they don't have just deep pockets, they have endless pockets.
Okay, so from us looking at it from the side, I mean, what can we do? Is there anything we can do?
Absolutely. Watch my documentary, Peaceful Not, my documentary, noncompliantmovie.com, and we're about to release the second documentary all about the sheriff.
Yep.
Those two documentaries will show you exactly what you need to do. Because you see, all the businesses that refuse to comply, they're not going to be sued.
Correct.
They're not going to go bankrupt because of lawsuits. All the sheriffs that worked to with their communities to keep their businesses open, they're going to get reelected.
Yeah.
They're not going to look like a bunch of idiots. So the solution is always peaceful noncompliance. And in our movie, noncompliantmovie.com, we teach you how that works. It's a documentary to teach you historically how it works, how to empower yourself, where the power of the people rests, where it comes and how it works, and how we take it back. And then the upcoming documentary, The Sheriff, is going to be how we actually do work with our sheriff, what's the real role, what's the real purpose of the sheriff. It's not a blind enforcer of the law, but as a defender of the people.
Perfect. I've been waiting for that movie to come out, the second one there, The Sheriff.
Yeah, me too. I'm waiting. You know how those things go, though. I'm like, let's go.
Outcast, go ahead.
Just curious, do you, in my mind, my conspiratorial mind, I see, was this designed to further decimate local economies to usher in their one world government?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It was designed, that's even the lawsuits that are coming now, right? Mm-hmm. Remember I told you they designed it so that the businesses would take the fall for the pharmaceutical companies, for the politicians.
Yep.
Well, the big box corporations, they have deep pockets and lawyers on retainer. It's not going to cost them anything to defend themselves. Mom and pop and the small businesses will go bankrupt defending themselves. Everything will be consolidated into big corporations. And the only thing that's left is the corporations that were already complying, already funding the politicians and already getting kickbacks from the politicians.
Yeah, basically, they're just, you know, securing their place in the new world order that they want, that's coming along.
But the mom and pops that didn't comply, they're the ones that are going to be our safe haven.
Our parallel economy is right with them.
Yeah, and the ones who didn't we keep saying that they've been trying to cull thin the herd. They were trying to also thin the herd of small businesses, because it's harder to manage several million small businesses as opposed to a couple hundred thousands of giant corporations. So this was designed to crush small businesses, get rid of them. Yep. Mm-hmm. I see.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Wow. So.
Well, thank you guys for having me on today.
Well, Chris Ann, as always, you bring the fire and bring the heat, and I'm so glad you able to make time for us. And, thank you for everything you guys do over at LibertyFirstSociety.com and ChrisAnnHall.com. And I'm going to put that
Let's not wait so long next time.
I know. It's just so much, October got a hold of it.
Oh, but you guys have JC on a lot, so you don't miss me.
I know. we do miss you because you guys bring different heat, right?
I think we've had you more on than him, right?
Oh, we have, but I talk to JC every day pretty much. But no, thank you so much, Chris Ann. That's awesome. And you guys go check her out, LibertyFirstSociety.com and ChrisAnnHall.com. And again, Chris Ann, great to talk to you. And we'll get
God
together.
God bless you, guys.
Yeah, God bless you. We'll get together before Chris. Go ahead.
Thank you for your perspective and your depth.
All right. And if anybody wants to know, I do most of my posting on Instagram, on Facebook, and on LinkedIn. I'm not on Twitter, and they banned me on YouTube. So I'm on Rumble. All my podcasts are on Rumble.
I'm going to put all those links in the show so everybody can find you.
Thank you.
Awesome.
That's very kind.
Stay dangerous, Chris Ann.
All right. Love you guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks. Well, there she is. Brought the heat again.
Yeah, she's a firecracker, that's for sure. But, she has such deep, knowledge. And as far as the law and the Constitution, I mean, I find myself very dumbfounded and quiet when she's talking because I don't want to put my, you know, sound like an idiot because she's so bright. You know what I mean? I just get kind of like, okay, I'm just going to listen.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you got to take the chance and sound that way. I mean, I do.
Yeah, I guess.
Man, that was crazy. Why don't we take a break and okay. regroup on the other side? And when we do that, hang on, let me find this thing I want to bring. All right, on the other side, you guys, we'll be right back. All right. This is the Dangerous Info Podcast. Share the show. Please share it right now.
What would you like to do if money were no object? How would you really enjoy spending your life? When we finally got down to something which the individual says he really wants to do, I will say to him, you do that. If you say that getting the money is the most important thing, you will spend your life completely wasting your time. You'll be doing things you don't like doing in order to go on living, that is to go on doing things you don't like doing. And so, therefore, it's so important to consider this question. What do I desire? Better to have a short life that is full of what you like doing than a long life spent in a miserable way.
Broadcasting from a secret location near Detroit, Michigan, Jesse James and Outkast are on the run, exposing the plans of the technocratic overlords and their political hand puppets. Stay safe out there, brothers. You're listening to the Dangerous Info Podcast with Jesse James.
All right, you guys, welcome back to the show. This is the Dangerous Info Podcast. No amnesty for the wicked. This is show number 65. Oh, Outkast.
Yes, sir.
We have a long road to go. We got a. There's a lot of people to get into the loop of thinking about these kind of things. The red pilling can't stop, right? We always talk about that.
Yeah,
I'm sick of red pilling people, but dude, it's gotta keep going, right? It's gotta
dude,
keep going.
I Nephilim red pilled 3 people since I 2 on Friday and 1 today. I can't stop. Somebody stop me.
Well, did you? Yeah, is that for? Do you think you got them for? Just is it bigger things or more like election type of stuff for tomorrow?
So you know, my Nephilim red pill is kind of about trying to stimulate their faith, intrigue them, you know, kind of get their juices flowing about what the system is that we live in and what the historical, biblical historical context of this system is, uh-huh. How it affects them and what they need to look out for and be on the watch for. Okay.
Right.
So I cannot stop myself at this point. I find myself there's days where I'm like, I'm tired of talking about the Nephilim and the Illuminati, you know what I mean? Because I like to tie it all together. But when I least expect it, man, I look at my brothers and sisters in the world and I see that they're asleep, not because they're bad people, but because they've been lulled asleep by a system that does not want them awake. So, for example, I went into a Catholic, what's it called? A Catholic supply store. And it's essentially a Catholic Bible bookstore. And, you know, they've got statues of Jesus and Mary for your garden and they've got everything in there. But I was looking, somebody had misinformed me that there was a Catholic study Bible that had the Apocrypha included.
Whoa.
And they were wrong. By the way, I have talked, I love my Catholic brothers and sisters out there. I really do. But I got to say, I've been told by a half a dozen Catholics, oh, my Bible at home has the Book of Enoch in it. I'm like, really? Wow. Well, I went to Bible. It doesn't. Yeah, it has a book called Maccabee, The Book of Maccabees, and it has a couple other things that the Protestant Bible doesn't have. It has an extension on another more stories on Daniel that aren't in our book, but the Apocrypha is not in there. And okay. I found that out today. So I got talking to this woman who owns the Bible bookstore. Obviously, she's passionate about her faith. And I started laying out hardcore truths in the Bible, and her eyes were bugged out of her head.
Really? What happened? What'd she say? Or what'd you say?
Well, I mean, I told her what I was looking for and why I was looking for it. And then I started outlining the deeper story that's, I think, has been kept from us to keep our faith dulled and our churches boring. And then it, in turn, people are uninspired by their faith. And once you start to answer the hard questions like, how were the pyramids built? Why does every culture on the planet have a pantheon of God story? You know what?
Right.
You know who are they, and why do they control? You know, and how is it that they control 99.9% of the world's wealth? They tell us on one hand we have to donate to this charity and that charity, and you know, dial in and make your pledge for Live Aid, and now it's Band Aid. And remember that back when we were kids, you know, there's all these causes that we give to out of the goodness of our heart. Yet the 1% that controls 99% of the world's wealth gives nothing back to humanity. Nothing? Who are they? Why are they like this?
Right.
These are all the answers that lie within the Nephilim story. And then you look at all their genetic modification stuff that they're doing now and human 2.0. And when you start connecting the dots for people and you show them the deeper dive into what the Hebrew meanings of the words are, like, you know, what, you know, like we talked about last episode, Nasa and Nakash, what deceive means and what serpent actually means. You just, I don't know how you can own a Bible bookstore and not know these stories.
Right. Well, you know,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Same thing that why the churches, why don't they talk about the real stuff? You know, they always talk about, government approved type of things. They don't get into what the scripture is really saying and look at Genesis 6. You can take that, just very simple.
That's the springboard.
Yeah.
And then Enoch is it just bewilders me why it could not be. I know, for safety's sake, I'll say, okay, I'm a good Christian. It's not a holy book, but it is an extra biblical book. But I'm sorry, when you read it and it tells you in some really interesting details about the life of Christ, it was written 200 years before he lived.
Yeah.
That's an important prophecy.
Yeah, totally.
And nobody's ever really encouraged to. Instead, I go to church and it's the Christmas story, the Easter story, everything's kind of on repeat, and I keep hearing the same stories.
Yep.
And I'm fine with that because I need that. I need to hit those stories again, but there's so much more and it's fascinating, right?
It'd be okay if they did that, you know, during the holiday seasons here, like that, right? During Christmas, during Thanksgiving. But dude, you have what, 10 other months to get busy on the other stuff, and they never do. And you got to ask yourself, why is that? Why don't they ever get busy and get deeper? Well, we know why. It's because of the 501c3. They're scared of the pulpit, or the pulpit is scared of the government for what they say. So, you know, the free speech is not free because they're censoring themselves because they took that money. You know, you talked about earlier about the what you mentioned, something about, the kind of stuff that Yuval Noah Harari always talks about. Okay, so
the transhumanism and
there's a new one right now. He's talking about immortality, and that I've got this right now. Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
Yeah, it's just going to tick you off again. But listen to this idiot.
You say that the latest human quest is immortality and divinity. We're all trying to be superhumans. Is that actually happening?
Yes, in places like Silicon Valley, equality is out, but immortality is in. Everybody's talking about immortality. Google has just established 2 or 3 years ago a sub-company called Calico, whose stated aim is to solve the problem of death. We've solved search, now we'll solve death. And they are not the only ones. And basically they are saying death is not some metaphysical phenomenon. We don't have to wait for the second coming of Christ in order to solve it. A couple of geeks in the laboratory can do it.
Are they doing it?
Yeah, they are investing billions in that. Not only them, but all over the world. Basically, there are three ways. You can use biological engineering to change the human body, to speed up natural selection. you can use cyborg engineering, which is combining organic with inorganic parts, and you can create completely inorganic life forms. It will be not only the greatest revolution in history, it will be the greatest revolution in biology ever.
Will we still be human?
Not in the sense that we understand humanity today. We are probably one of the last generations of Homo sapiens. In a century or two, either we will destroy ourselves, which I think is less likely, more likely we'll upgrade ourselves into something which is more different from us than we are different from Neanderthals or from chimpanzees.
Well, there you go. We're no different than a chimpanzee.
So Revelation, yep. Revelation 9:6, and this is prophecy for the end of days. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them.
There you go. That's the one I always talk about. Man, I'm glad you said that. Which one is that? Revelation what?
9:6.
Revelation
chapter nine, verse 6.
Yep. 9:6.
That was the King James.
I just wrote that down so people can.
The NIV version. NIV says, during those days, people will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them.
Yes, that's the one. That's the one that hits more. It's harder, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that is crazy. But, yeah, that's where we're all headed, you know, and we used to get called crazy for saying this kind of stuff in the past.
Yeah, I mean, it's remarkable. And then when you think about everything that the fallen angels taught their giant children, it's everything that these people are pushing to this day. It's witchcraft, it's sorcery, it's alchemy, it's the art of war. It's it's the dark arts.
It is.
And it's being promoted heavily on every level of, you know, mainstream culture. I think I may have said on Instagram, I think I sent you a link, and it was somebody sent it to me, probably my brother Tom. It was a montage of all these celebrities admitting that they sold their soul to the devil.
You know, yeah, I think I've seen, well, there's so many of them that come out. You know,
this was a nice little montage. It was several people, but
yeah, this is,
they say it. They're saying it out loud.
I'm going to look for it right here. I'm going to play it because, you know, it's true. Unless they're playing with us. After I play this, I want you to talk about Katy Perry and that thing that she just went through the other day. And if we can see, if we can decipher some of that, but listen to this.
To the music industry is, I swear, I wanted to be like the Amy Grant of music.
Yeah.
But it didn't work.
Katy Perry
out,
right
so
here.
I sold my soul to the devil. Well, needless to say, sold my soul.
I swear to listen for her.
I sold my soul to the devil.
Why is your hand over your eye?
Because I'm a devil worshiper. What are you talking about?
Yeah, because she's a devil worshiper. What are you talking about? So, you know, you could say some of these people are trying to say this stuff for effect or to you know, get their face back in the headlines or whatever it is. But this goes way back before these kids were even born. But we see the same thing. Now you heard Kanye in there. Yay. Talk about it. And that was years ago. And now he's completely opposite of that. And he's trying to expose this kind of stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, now that leads into another thing. I want to give credit to regular listener and good friend of mine, Jacqueline. She, before I had pieced it together, she had found all this evidence about the Aaron Carter death, where he died in his bathtub. And apparently it's not uncommon. Well, if you think about it, there's been many celebrities who died in their bathtub, and it seems to be a, an Illuminati practice for sacrifice, death in the bathtub. So, she pointed that out because when that first happened, when I first heard about Aaron Carter, I was like, okay, did he die suddenly from a vaccine? But his last tweet was, he was saying, hey, Kanye, we need to talk.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's MK Ultra wearing off, maybe as the whole of humanity starts to wake up, including celebrities, there's going to be this fight even within the celebrities to sound the alarm. I mean, you and I have seen multiple videos of Michael Jackson and Prince and all these guys that just started to speak out, just like Aaron Carter, just like Kanye, and next thing you know, they're dead.
Right. I don't know much about Aaron Carter recently.
I don't either.
You know, I remember when he was a younger kid. He's a brother of one of those other boy band dudes or whatever.
Backstreet Boys or something, yeah.
Yeah.
And, I'm not a fan either, but like it's when I heard he died, I was like, oh, he died suddenly.
Yeah.
No. But, you know, then Jacqueline sent me some links, and I was like, oh, wait a minute. This is more like he was ready to talk.
It seems that way, doesn't it? And who else was ready to talk? Coolio. Remember, Coolio had all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And then don't forget Isaac Cappy.
Cappy.
If our listeners want to go back in the Wayback Machine. And he was doing live streaming.
He had his own show,
doing
man.
Tell-all.
Yeah,
he was telling all.
You know, that's before we knew each other, me and you. Or just right chatting on a Patriot thread. But, you know, we were both... I was watching Isaac Cappy every day because he was bringing so much heat, especially on like Tom Hanks and all those guys from Hollywood and all this nasty pedophile stuff. And he was on top of it. And, you know, he was not ready to die. I mean, he warned everybody too. He's like, look, I'm not looking to die. I'm not looking for any of this stuff. And, here it is. He was thrown off a bridge. Remember?
Yeah, and run over.
And run over.
Off a bridge and run over. Yeah. And, he just days before, he said, he did a video and he said, I am not suicidal.
Yep.
But,
and you know who else just said that? Carrie Lake. Carrie Lake just said that about Hillary Clinton. So,
and you know what? When I went back and watched that video again, Carrie Lake looked disturbed. She saw something in that Hillary video that spooked her, that got her.
Well,
don't you think?
She's right in the middle. She's in the thick of... Think of it, man. Big
the
time.
Yeah.
Because if she, you know, what's so key about that state, Arizona down there, if she does win, and it looks like she's gonna, I mean, look, her opponent, was it Katie Hobbs, never wanted to debate with her, which is insane to me. It's like, how can anybody vote for somebody who does not want to debate? I mean, that's your job. You have to go talk about your plans versus somebody else's plans if you plan to run.
And furthermore, how can our liberal friends, family, and acquaintances stand behind it and go, I'm going to vote this color. No, I'm going to vote blue no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? Okay. So you're a real cognitive deep thinker, aren't you? You figured it all out.
Yeah.
Good for you.
No,
you're so smart.
Listen, those are the same people who are willing to go get a free hamburger from McDonald's and take a jab in their arm. So they don't think a whole lot, right?
No. They want amnesty now too.
Yeah. Go ahead. Finish up on that. Cause we got to get back to the amnesty thing.
I was going to say, so let's go to amnesty next, but let's finish up on the last thing I want to say. So for our listeners, I'm sure most of them saw the video of Katy Perry with her eye. I don't know what to make of it. I have some thoughts I'm going to share with it, but her eye malfunctioning about a week or so ago. And I've had some people debate with me about it. Some people don't think it's anything. Some people think that she's messing with us. Maybe she is. But to me, it's really hard to make your eye drop in that relaxed manner. So I'll accept this as an argument that it was a vaccine reaction, maybe, but why would she continue to touch her temple to reset her eye, which it looks like.
Yep.
And then I kind of had this thought, now this might be fantastic. So I'm just having fun here. I'm just spitballing. But my older brother that was in the military back in the 80s told me that every single rocket launcher, every single grenade launcher, every single Jeep or, you know, vehicle or tank that you saw on the news was 30-year-old technology.
Yes.
That they never show you up-to-date technology when they're doing a news report, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, they're showing us these kind of slightly schlocky AI, they call them, and they're these robots that have a human face, but their body's still kind of C-3PO looking and wires hanging out, and then they can answer questions, and they sound pretty eloquent and pretty human-like, but you can still tell it's a robot.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's potentially possible they're showing us that robot. That's 30-year-old technology. So I'm not saying Katy Perry's a robot, but for the fun of it, I'm going to say, what if Katy Perry is a freaking robot, right?
Right.
You know what I mean? We don't know what we're looking at. So then today somebody posts another video of Katy Perry, and I went to send to every several text threads I'm on, and nobody could open it. It was up and down within seconds.
Yeah.
So if this happened, why are we not allowed to see it? And in the video, I'll explain it to you because I can't find it right now. They're trying to scrub it, but it's a fan's footage of her on stage. And in the middle of the song, she starts saying, Master, I'm not feeling so well anymore. Master, And then she's rambling on. I can't make out what the rest of what she's saying. And then she collapses on stage. And a stagehand comes and picks her up. And as he's carrying her off stage, she drops her microphone and makes a big clunk, you know, in the audio. Okay, so let's dissect this real quick. It's really wild and creepy to watch this video. But, okay, let's have fun here. What if we are being psyoped again? What if Katy Perry is just part of the equation, trying to make everybody feel like everything's haphazard and falling apart? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Honestly, I will be honest with you. It does almost look like she's acting, but she does fall pretty hard.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking for that right now, and you sent it to me too.
I nabbed a screenshot of it before they pulled it down somehow.
Yeah. And okay, so basically I'm out here looking at, I'm on Brave right now. And okay. I typed in Katy Perry collapses. And okay. Here's what comes up. A Fox News story from 2020. A YouTube from 2011. Listen to this. The one from 2020, I'm going to read the part of the intro here. It says, some American Idol judge, Katy Perry collapses during auditions due to a gas leak. Let's move to 2011, August 19th, 2011. Katy Perry says she doesn't feel well and then collapsed on stage and carried off by a stagehand. That's in 2011.
Okay, so that must be it.
That's in 2011. Yeah, that's in Nashville.
But she says, she doesn't just say, I'm not feeling so well. She says, master, I am not feeling so well anymore.
Right. Yeah. Now that one I don't see, but what I'm looking at here. So she fell in Nashville in 2011. She fell here again in 2020 on the American Idol show. I'm scrolling down here.
And why would
she
be
fell
pulled?
Again? Huh?
Why would it be pulled off of Instagram?
I don't know. Quickly? I don't know. I'm just scrolling down. Here's a 2019 one. Okay, so this is kind of a funny one. It says American Idol Katy Perry was blown away by a steamy performance of Bruno Mars Sunday night, so much so that she collapsed on the table as fellow judges went on. And so I don't know. Here's another one. Katy Perry collapses, faints on stage. Let's see what this is. This is a video. I don't know.
Does she have a yellow feather boa? She got a blue dress with the yellow feather boa.
I don't know. Can you see that? No, it's making me wait. Damn it. It's making me wait. So here's one. It says, the same one. Katy Perry collapses on stage while performing I Kissed a Girl. That was 5 years ago. Dang, man. So I don't know what it is with her and collapsing or what they're trying to pull, but definitely there's something going on. They're trying to pull.
She's one that keeps saying that she sold her soul too.
I remember she was a Christian girl, right? That the Christian music and all that stuff.
That's how she started out. In that one clip, she says, I wanted to be the next Amy Grant.
That's right.
And Amy Grant was a Christian singer.
Yeah. So I don't know, make of it what you guys or what you will, everybody. But there's some high strangeness definitely going on. And you
high strangeness.
Yeah. You met some or you mentioned some MK Ultra stuff earlier, you know, and Kanye, he went through all that stuff in 2016, you know, when, you know, he was visiting the White House and doing all that stuff, 2017, those years where he was kind of waking up. Right. And then he went back down underground. Remember, we didn't hear from him for a long time. And from what I heard, he's got this, I guess, famous to the stars, famous to Hollywood type of stars, celebrities and those type of things. A quote, personal trainer that is, what is he? Canadian military, kind of like a MI6, MI5 type of, you know, like equivalent to our CIA type of stuff. That he went to see, that it seems like a ton of these stars that, you know, I'm talking about, musicians, Hollywood, you know, Hollywood celebrities, all this stuff, movies, TV, a lot of people go and see this guy. And it's not just for, you know, working out, right? It's not for that. I think that's the cover. But he's like an MK Ultra controller of these people. And a lot of these people are triggered or set up, you know, they're as they're coming up before they become stars, you know, as they sell themselves to the devil, right? They go through these, I don't want to say therapy sessions, but they go through these sessions where, you know, that MK Ultra stuff is installed. You know, that's military type of stuff.
And isn't MK Ultra also directly linked to, it's trauma based mind control. So they, they abuse them to the point that it fractures their personality into multiple, into 1,000 pieces, essentially.
Yeah. That's exactly where I was going with that. And, it seemed that like back in the day when Kanye was coming out of that stuff, they needed to get him back with his trainer because he was breaking that thought, that mind control. Well, I think where he's at now is beyond that, because I think they got him back. They worked on him for a while. Remember, he had those strange things that came out afterwards, those strange videos that came out where he was saying these weird things. I think he actually broke all that MK Ultra programming now. It took him a couple times, but I think he's in a spot now where he can, he's going for it. You know, time will tell what's going on there, but you know, as the media says, it tells all their barking seals, hey, say he's crazy, say he's crazy. And everybody says, oh, he's crazy. Yeah, he's definitely crazy. And then all the media runs with it. So it's going to be interesting to watch and see this kind of stuff as it plays out.
Somebody I was listening to this week was pointing out that they, if you think about it, they're not saying what he says is incorrect. They're just calling him anti-Semitic.
Okay,
they're not disputing what he's saying.
Yeah, no,
they're labeling him a racist, so they can shut down his discourse.
Yep, and that's not what he's saying. He wasn't saying anything about those regular Jews. He's talking about those bankers, you know, the controllers, you know, the same ones that we always bitch about on this show. Yeah, we don't call them Jews. That has nothing to do with it to me. They're just these people who are always in there. They're running game on us. That's who they are.
And they're not even Jews.
Yeah, no, exactly. They're not real Jews, right? It's just nuts. I don't understand that whole thing. It's just, I don't know. That stuff there is just that's crazy.
That's a rabbit hole. Yeah, I don't know if I'm ready to go down that. Yeah, it's far out. Wow. Anyways, so maybe that video is older. Maybe that's not as relevant. But the fact that they would go up and then be pulled down and is, I don't know, it's strange. It's just weird with Katy Perry.
Yeah,
and then her eye thing. Still, when you watch it, you just like, "Oh, what is going on?"
Yeah,
and you think she'd turn her head away.
Yeah, so it's not looking in the camera, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it's not.
So I'm willing to admit. I mean, we're being played. Maybe, you know, it's another part of another level of the psyop. I don't know. I mean, I'm starting to think that the people who organize our road construction are part of the psyop. Everybody, loved ones and friends I talk to are all telling me they feel like they're being intentionally driven insane by the construction traffic, because they'll shut down the traffic going the same direction, every road going in the same direction. There's no way around it to the point where you feel like you're going insane. I had to take my cat to the vet a couple of weeks ago. It's like literally 3 miles from my house. It took me a half an hour to go 3 miles.
Dang.
Yeah. Because it doesn't even make sense how they're shutting the roads down. One day my navigator says, okay, that this main, you know, this main, interstate highway is, got something going on. So here, go this roundabout way, which is another, I'm aware of it. It's another way to go to get to my destination.
Yeah.
I get down there and every entrance ramp to that expressway, even if I turned around and tried to, everything was shut off. There was no way to go where I was trying to go. I ended up having to go back to the road that they said was shut down and jump in line and just have to sit there. So they did construction on two major arteries at the same time. Hmm. So much high strangeness that, to use your word again, your word, so much high strangeness again that my navigator couldn't even keep up.
Wow.
My navigator's trying to get me around it, and it's leading me into another trap. I was just throwing that out there. It makes me wonder if they're just trying to make us crazy from every angle.
Oh, you know, they, and then you could pick, be.
Every,
yeah.
Yeah. And then you, every new TV show. Oh, look, there's a new series. My friend told me about. Oh, what's it about? Oh, it's about vampires.
Yeah.
Oh, what's this one about? It's about the end of the world. What's this one about? Oh, it's another one about vampires. Oh, okay. What's this one about? It's another one about the end of the world.
Okay, so, like, you know, you brought that up, but I go back to, remember the whole craze of the zombies?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. I think that happened for a reason. All those TV shows and all those movies that came out in those years, I think that was a pre-programming setup.
Yeah, I fear that could be too.
Yeah, that's exactly
what I thought. And even before I went down the deep rabbit hole of conspiracy, I was thinking along those lines, like, what are they prepping us for? Something. Well, now that you know that there's all these theories about graphene oxide and 5G and what it can do. And I just saw footage the other day where somebody was like driving down the road with a mask on, and randomly they just didn't even slow down and just rear-ended these people. Like, they're in a trance. I see it every day driving, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. I don't,
I saw a lady today walk outside of a Walgreens with her mask on. She's outside with her mask on. And then eventually she pulls her mask down to smoke a cigarette.
Oh, that was you that sent that picture.
Yeah,
I thought it was Padlock Jay that said that.
No, that was me.
Oh, that was funny. Me. Yeah, that was funny. We should put that somewhere so people can see it.
I didn't get a great shot of it through my windshield, but yeah, that's a true one right there.
Dang.
I don't know.
Well, let's, since we got to talk about some amnesty here, because our show is called Amnesty.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No amnesty for the wicked. I'm going back to that screen that I had on. So what I was reading,
I'm really, afraid you're going to tap into some bitterness in me.
Well, let it all out. Now, I have a little different, I mean, I know I totally agree with what Chris Ann said about this. About the
yeah, I do too. She brought up a great point. It was a very grounded point, and I think we needed to hear that for sure.
Yeah, but she's I still want to go deeper, because the ones that did it to us. All right, I'm not talking about our friends and family and people that, you know, might work at the local restaurant who doesn't know what the heck was going on, but the ones that actually did it to us. That's who I'm talking about. No amnesty for you guys. All this media people. No amnesty for you guys. Okay, I see that you pulled the wool over a lot of our friends and family, but you didn't for me, right? You did not for a lot of us who thinking people. You did not, because we always knew this type of program operation is what you guys always wanted. You always were gearing up to this. Remember the old videos from like Rima LeBeau when she met on the tarmac there with Jesse Ventura years ago, back in the early 2000s. We knew about these things already. We knew that these things were coming. So we were kind of, you know, thinking, is this the one? Well, yeah, this turned out to be the one, because so many people bought into it. So I'm not part of this whole amnesty stuff. No, just like that, the intro to this show today.
I'm no
amnesty for you guys. I want to see you in jail. I want to see you behind bars. I want to see you pay for what you've done. I'm talking about Fauci's. I'm talking about the CDC, the FDA, all this stuff, the pharma companies, right? All the pharma companies, they all knew about this stuff. And look, we knew about Operation, or what was that? Event 201 in 2019. Remember October?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that had to do with Johns Hopkins. That was Bill Gates. No amnesty for none of you guys. Bunch of freaks.
You know, it's a great point. But now, if I may get a little bit more local and personalized in my just thought process, though, I'm wide awake, and I can see how controllable many of my acquaintances were by the media.
Mm-hmm.
I am highly disappointed in your ability to verbalize such hatred and such intolerance. Because you were scared. You've led a life, a godless life. I'm talking about my friends from the music scene. Okay.
Mm, yeah.
You've led you've declared your godlessness, and you despise the Lord. So then you became subject to fear. Then you allowed the fear to turn into visceral hatred to anybody that didn't think like you. I'm talking to these people in my personal circles. You have been a pathetic pawn of the state, okay, of this agenda, you so-called phony baloney rebels who supposedly think so independently, you chose to fall into this trap and go to the carnal and hate on anybody that doesn't buy into the narrative, okay?
Yep.
Now, I get it. You've been mind-controlled by it, but I wasn't. And And now you're hoping I'm just going to forget about it. And you realize now that your music scene and your restaurants are half full. Where'd everybody go? Come on back, guys. Let's play. I'm done being mad in the sandbox and having a tantrum in the sandbox. Come back to my sandbox. It's really empty. I miss my friends. No, I'm sorry. You're talking to a guy who self-effacingly is passive aggressive. And I'm not going to get in your face. I'm not going to punch you. I am not going to even tell you off. I'm just going to ghost. I'm not playing anymore. I'm not participating. You don't exist to me anymore.
Yep.
Sorry. That's my rant. I mean, Chrisanna is absolutely right. 100%. What I'm saying may not be a very, godly thing to say. It's just how I'm feeling. These people have really, really disappointed me on a level that I don't want to say I can't forgive them. I can forgive them to an extent, but I really am not going to forget. And now that I know who they are, I don't want them in my personal circle, because when the next fear event comes along, what are they going to do? Give me up to the gulags? Are they going to tell my location so I can be executed in a camp? Are they going to tell people where to, you know, I mean, who knows what they're capable of? These people have absolutely no spine. Oh, they got blue hair and they got tattoos and they got combat boots. Ooh, you're a rebel. No, you're not. You are the most pathetic pawn of the state I've ever seen. And I'm sorry. The magic is gone. I see you for who you are. So, oh boy, I'm sorry. I was on a rant.
That's how a lot of people feel. You know, this too bad we didn't have, shows going daily, because we could have got into this when it happened. You know,
yeah.
She wrote this, last week on, what's the date of this last week? Well, October 31st. So the night that we had our last show last week, that's when she wrote this. So it must have came out the following day, the following Tuesday. So it's gone a week now without us having, an outlet to talk about it. But, you know, I've heard a ton of people talking about it. You, I'm sure you have too. But for her, for her and others who think the way she does as far as media goes, talking about we didn't know, it's like, no, you weren't paying attention, or you did know and you needed to run with the narrative that your bosses gave you. Okay. It's one of the two. I mean, you know, we weren't in media, but two years ago, we weren't in this show. Okay. We were just prior to making this podcast, but we knew because we pay attention and we study and we look and we're always talking about these kind of things, right? This is a new world order move is what happened to us, right? This is a globalist move. What happened to us?
Yeah. For me to keep going back to the music scene, these people have been screaming about the incoming totalitarian government that's going to come and squash free speech and destroy, enslave humanity. They've been singing about it in their punk lyrics for decades, for 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then a majority of them fall right in line and go, yes, master, whatever you say, master, turn in my fellow, rebels, master, who don't think like me. And they just turned into zombies over this thing. And I'm sorry. I got your number. I see how weak you are. Yeah. And I don't need you in my circle. I don't need you around me. I don't need that kind of weakness in my life. I need people who are true independent thinkers, not pretend independent thinkers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Sound petulant?
No, you sound like I do. You sound like a lot of everybody we talk to. You sound like a person that has a conscience who's thinking, who actually can see these kind of things. You sound like somebody who was prepared to see these kind of things. And, you know, all we can do now is get people to open their mind up, to listen to what we have been saying. We're not the only ones saying it. You know, there's so many of us in the alternative media have been talking this way for a long time. We've been called crazy people for many years. Outcast. All right. Mm-hmm. I've been called a crazy lunatic forever, but not so much anymore, because most of that stuff that I said did happen. Okay.
I've said it on the show many times before, and it's so true, Jesse. Private conversations. Off to the side, people text me and they go, hey, have you noticed that everything Jesse's been telling us for years is coming true? It's like, yeah, I noticed. Yep. I'll be honest with you. When you start talking about chemtrails, I was not ready for that. I was like, what? I don't know. And then I can see it now.
Yeah.
It takes a while for everybody to catch on, myself included sometimes.
Well, it's crazy. You know, and we got to have an expert on about that stuff too. I mean, I might be an expert in gut feeling stuff because that's where I get all this stuff from. I mean, I see the white papers. I listen to where they publish these kind of things. I listen to people like David Icke, people, you know, Alex Jones back in the day. He used to talk about all this nonsense, what so-called nonsense, right? Alan Watts, he used to talk about all this kind of stuff. But people, it never crossed over to get into a big mainstream, caught up in the mainstream, but it is now. And those guys were right pretty much on almost everything they said. And because they were doing the same thing. That's why I started looking at white papers and looking into these reports and these military industrial complex contractors, these companies who build these corporations that build these kind of military grade things. I started looking into that stuff years ago and started connecting dots. I started looking into all the governmental, like the Tuskegee and the MK Ultra stuff and all those experiments and all those things that they were doing to humans, to Americans for all these decades. I got a gut feeling about these things now.
Mm-hmm.
I still have gut feelings about a lot of things that happen, and they might not even be related to any of this stuff. It's just a gut feeling that I know something's going on before it happens. You know, I've told you some of those stories before. It's crazy. Don't know. I don't understand it. I don't understand where they're coming from. I know it's God talking to me.
It's a gift of the spirit, maybe. You know, I shouldn't say maybe. It is a gift of the spirit. Everybody has, every one of us in the body of Christ has different talents. They're not all the same. They're all a little different.
Yeah.
And that's yours. You know what I mean?
I think you and I
and other people like us, we tend to look around and try to find somebody that we can say, hey, do you have this thing that's exactly like this? And they can't really say that they do. Well, everybody's got different talents. Everybody's got different gifts of the spirit. It's like there's scripture talks about all the parts of the body. You know, the hand has a talent. The foot has a talent. The eyeballs do have a certain task. Yeah. Ears, mouth, right? We can't all be all of them. Yeah. We can't all have, you're the right hand. I'm a left hand. Who knows? I mean, it's like, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. That's one of your things. Those intuitions you have are one of your gifts of the spirit.
Sometimes it gets freaky though. Sometimes it gets over over into the scary part of it because I'll see things that happen in real life that I might have seen like earlier in the day or the day before or something, and then I'll actually see it, live it a couple of days later, and that those things get freaky. I don't particularly like those. Yeah. But I wish I could control those things, and I wish I could maybe, I don't know if channel is the right word, but to somehow, I don't know what I'm trying to say here as far as not channeling it. I'm not looking to be a witch or anything, but when those things happen,
harnessing it.
Yeah. I wish I could harness that stuff, but it just seems to happen on its own.
I'm going to make a suggestion to you. I mean, this is probably the answer to everything that ails us because we are living in a beast system. We are spiritual beings trying to navigate our way through a beast system, right?
Mm-hmm.
The only antidote is to be in the Word. It's really hard to do. I'm talking a big game. I'm not in the Word of God like I should be. But I notice when I do make an effort, my faith just explodes and my ability to feel God's will in my life it's a direct conduit and it can drive me. I can just, Jason, turn right, turn left. You know, it tells me where to go and what to do. Okay.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, I think if you found yourself dialing in more and more and more as much as you can, which is hard to do, you got a job and everything, but the more you tune into the Word, He'll start showing you the way to use it and how to use it. It'll make it more apparent.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there. I'm not trying to preach
it. It makes sense. I want to go, we've only got a few minutes left here, but before we wind down here, let's get into some stuff that we were talking about earlier in our text threads and everything, and some current news that's happening right now. So Trump just, it looks like Trump just took the stage here in Ohio. And there's a lot of rumors swirling around that he's going to say that he's going to run, make his run tonight. Like he's going to, you know, come out and say it. Of course, that's going to make everybody go insane, right?
Yeah.
But you know, last I heard, it was supposed to be on like November 14th after these midterms. So if this could be just a rumor for tonight, I don't know. But it looks like everybody's all excited over there or whatever. But
well, at this point, I'm noticing that one of his talents is trolling his opposition. So I think he's going to tease. He's not trying to tease us with an announcement. I think he's trying to tease them with an announcement.
Yeah, I agree. So that's just something else to look for. And, you know, like I'm saying, he's not a savior, but he's a nice wrench in the system to go in there and bang things up, a wrecking ball. So, you know, get in there and wreck some balls. That's what I say. There's okay. A brand new drop just came out. Let me read a few of these things. It says, here's the first one. Why do some elections take more than a day to count? Remember that something new, something that they came up with during the COVID years.
Yep.
Elections are supposed to be one day, but why are they taking more than a day to count? Here's another one.
Especially when they have such a great Dominion voting system. It's computerized. It's flawless. It's so safe.
Yeah, and it costs so much. Here we go.
Yeah.
Can cheating be done after the polls are closed? Yes, we saw that in Detroit. Who controls the poll books? Who controls the databases? Who controls the elections? Why are extra ballots printed? If someone doesn't vote, can bad actors hijack their vote? And if so, how? Why did the National Guard activate cybersecurity teams? Remember, they did it in 14 cities. Who gave the order to activate the cybersecurity teams, and why'd they do that? Was it to protect the elections? To claim that the midterms are safe? If so, safe from what? And are they setting the stage? It says, watch carefully. It says, white hats have secured many systems, but problems still remain. You have all the tools you need. So, I don't know. There's a lot of questions there. It says go out and vote. Go out and vote. So we'll see. We'll see how all that stuff turns out. But these are just new things that are dropping. Now, you know something else that I just thought of that I remembered. It was in my notes from the other day. Elon Musk, okay? You and I still don't trust him, but we kind of like what he's like what he's doing over there at Twitter right now.
Yeah. Right.
Even though he's got those technocratic roots and all that stuff, we're having fun watching what he's doing over there. Do you realize, okay, so he fired a lot of people over the weekend, right? I think that place had, 7,500 employees, something like that. And about half of them are probably useless, so he's just getting rid of half of them. You know, if it was me, I'd get rid of all of them eventually and replace them with people that I could trust or you know, who aren't crazy lunatics that go out and get coffee every 15 minutes and do yoga and do all this stuff inside the building and not do their work. And then come back and, you know, look at some people who are saying some words they shouldn't be saying and silence their speech, you know? So, but do you realize that Elon, now that he owns Twitter, he owns everybody's who has ever been on Twitter. He owns all of their DMs and all those direct messages, all their direct messages to each other. Okay. Yeah. Those things aren't private. I mean, they're private between you and whoever's doing it. But they never, ever leave the Twitter servers. So you can delete it, but all that stuff there. Same with, you know, Facebook and Instagram, all these things. You can write stuff all over the stuff, think it's deleted, but no, it's still there on the servers. Maybe you can't see it, and the person you sent it to can't see it, but still it's hanging there on the servers. So all they got to do is go in there and find it. So think about 2020. Think about 20, just before the elections and all that stuff. Think about how many things were said in Twitter and the DMs, direct messages, between parties. He's got everything. All he's got to do. Think about it, dude.
He's like his own NSA.
Yes, because all that stuff. Okay, so he's got anything that anybody or any president had a DM with somebody else. He's got that. He's got a Speaker of the House that said a DM to anybody. He's got that. You got FBI people who sent DMs to somebody, he's got that. He's got everything, dude.
Wow.
All he's going to have to do is put somebody, put a team on it and say, look, I need all the direct messages from, let's say, this person or that person. And let's look at it between January 4th and January 7th. And let's see what kind of direct messages we see and can find.
Wow.
Do you know what I'm saying?
What are you getting at?
What if there's direct messages between FBI personnel and Nancy Pelosi on January 6th?
But, okay, yeah.
Well, what if there is coordination between election mules, drivers, ballot workers back in 2020 in that election? What if there's correspondence between all these people in Twitter? He's got all that. He's got it all now.
Okay, now can I posit this?
Yeah.
If he's got it all and nothing ever comes out,
mm-hmm.
Does that mean he's a black hat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it could be. But it also could be the other way. If he starts unleashing, say, hey, look at this thread between these two people. Think about how many threads he's going to have. Look at what if he's got all kinds of threads from Hillary Clinton to who knows who? What if Seth Rich? What if he's got Seth Rich's stuff?
Wow.
Dude, Isaac Cappy, he's got all this. John Podesta, what if he's got communication between John Podesta and Chester Bennington?
Wow.
Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Do you see the potential of this is enormous? Elon has it all. Now, what's he going to do with it? Like I said, those messages can be deleted, but they're never gone. Okay, they're just out of your sight. But Twitter has it always has it.
Fascinating.
I know.
It's going to get. It seems like it's got the potential to get really red hot and fascinating. Just as Q said it would, just not in the time frame we wanted it. We wanted it quicker than this, but these types of things take a while to flesh out. So maybe we're going to find out in the end that all those Q drops were correct.
Right.
That'd be kind of amazing.
I know. This is going to be a fun time, getting popcorn time. I just got something from Dr. Sean Brooks, and he's talking about there's a Simone Gold story. You know, she was just acquitted. Did you hear that?
No.
Let me see. It says America's frontline doctors drops lawsuit on founder, director, or Dr. Simone Gold. Remember, they put her in jail because she was at January 6th. They just put her in there for just walking around. All she was doing was walking around because she had a speech she was going to say, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that, but they just a couple months ago, this summer, they put her in jail. Found her guilty or whatever, or something. Let me see. It says, I'm reading this right now. Investigation planned a lawsuit with a free speech. They alleged that the defendant Gold spent millions of dollars of fundraising, funds raised that were meant to support actions taken by the AFLDS, which is America's Frontline Doctors, right?
Mm-hmm.
According to the lawsuit, money raised by AFLDS was meant to be spent exclusively for charitable purposes and to perform every act as necessary, incidental or connected with blah, 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 Bill of Rights with the historic traditions. I'm just going down here. Dr. Gold, she says, it purchased the lawsuit states a $3.6 million home in Naples, Florida, without authorization from the board of directors. Now she resides in the home for rent free along with former people John Strand additional. So let me see, I'm gonna put this story, there's not enough time for me to read it right now, I'm gonna put this story in our Gilded so people read it, and I will also put the story in tonight's show links, all right, so people can get in there and read it. But headline of it is America's frontline doctors, they drop a lawsuit on her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good.
Some crazy stuff, man. Some crazy stuff going on.
Yeah.
There was some stuff earlier that Patriot M sent to you and I, because I had her remember I told her to send us some things that was going on.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? I had her link. Oh, yeah. The Georgia race. That's what it was, between Abrams and Kemp. And she's talking about, don't forget the Harrison deal. Harrison deal dying in a fireball. She says, let me see. Kemp is an evil rhino, but just not as crazy as Stacey Abrams. It says, words cannot express how much Harrison Deal's life, love, and support meant to us, said Kemp, who has three daughters. Harrison was the Kemp son and brother we never had. So it says he was assassinated. Governor Kemp's daughter's boyfriend assassinated in a fiery explosive wreck. That's Dark Outpost. Harrison Deal's dead. Kelly Loeffler's staffer dies in a car crash. And she says, and remember, Kemp turned on Trump and refused to audit the election, and it wasn't until a year later that the Georgia started cleaning up the voter rolls. Stacey Abrams and Kemp were in on it together. Good cop, bad cop. Possibly. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So you guys going to have to look out into that. So I'm going to look here for a few last minute things. Do you have anything that you wanted to bring up before we go?
Oh, I had something a minute ago, back a little bit back on, holding people accountable high up in the amnesty thing. I just want to throw this out there for consideration. Mm-hmm. I was in an office today and we were talking holistically about stuff. Just kind of giving my take on Big Pharma and everything else. And one of the gals brought up this crazy story about in the 90s, there was a deal with Monsanto was involved in a carpet, like a Scotchgard type carpet stain.
Oh, yeah.
Repellent.
Okay.
And that made people terribly ill. And what I'm getting at here, I'm sorry, I'm kind of doing this in a convoluted way, but I'm trying to say these people who perpetrated these lies on us, we know who they are. I hope that they're not above the law where they cannot be dragged into a legal situation, but I fear that they are above the law. But what they cannot control is if people leave their system of sick care or health care, as they call it, in mass. If they're willing to lie to us about everything regarding COVID in order to control us, I beg of you to consider leaving their Big Pharma situation. They're not looking out for your best interest. They never have. If this is not an illustration of it, I don't know what is. I'm serious. If you are on Big Pharma meds and you don't feel like you're stuck on a treadmill, find a holistic doctor in your area, break away from their system. Kind of like what Jesse's always saying about, like, getting off the grid or being self-sufficient or finding a community. Your health is the same way. Stop giving them your money. What the liberals say, defund the police. How about we defund Big Pharma? These people lied to us.
Yep.
They manipulated us. They tried to control us. Stop giving them your money. I don't care if they told you have a condition and you have to take their meds. There's probably a solution to get away from it. Go find your holistic doctor. Try a whole new approach to your health care, because I'm telling you, if they're willing to lie to you about COVID and let Granny die alone in the nursing home, or stop you from visiting your family at Thanksgiving because you were not vaccinated, all these things, then why would you put any trust in their healthcare system?
True.
So if we can't drag them into court, then defund them. Defund them by not stop giving them your money. I don't care if you pay into insurance. Just don't go to them anymore.
Yeah.
Find a new way.
If you want something to go away, stop buying it.
Yeah. Right. And I want them to go away. So stop lining their pockets.
Yep. Same here.
And you know what? That might, I'm going to take a step further. That might even go for Netflix and some of this other stuff. Stop paying into it. They hate us. Yep. They hate our guts.
They do. There is a 12 hours ago in Michigan, it says police investigating spikes, nails left in GOP office parking lot in Charlevoix County. A $2,000 reward is being offered for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the person or people who left nails to pop car tires near Charlevoix County Republican Party, police said. Boyne City police officers were called Saturday to the party's headquarters for a report of someone leaving multiple items placed near it. Officials said the items appeared to be designed to damage parked vehicles at the address. Investigators collected evidence from the scene and it is being examined. An anonymous donor is offering $2,000 reward, police said. John Jarema, chairman of Charlevoix County Republicans, said in a statement that one of the party's volunteers stepped on one of the tire spikes and immediately alerted others. The devices were made from flattened bottle caps with roofing nails pressed through the paint or pressed through and painted in black to blend in with the parking lot's blacktop, he said. One was found in the tire of at least one vehicle. And I'm looking at these things right here. And yeah, they're homemade. They're little spikes.
They're homemade caltrops.
Yeah.
You heard that term?
Yeah. What'd you say? Caltrops. What is it called?
I think it's pronounced caltrops, C-A-L-T-R-O-P-S. So in medieval times, they would they made these spiky objects that no matter how you threw them down, there'd always be a point would pop up.
Yeah,
later, and then they would, so they would chuck them for horses to get hung up on them in battle. They would do, and you could use them for popping tires too. But yeah. In medieval times, they were called a caltrop.
That's so what these look like. Yeah, they look like that.
An impromptu caltrop. Yeah.
It says whoever attacked our Republican headquarters clearly had intent to commit bodily harm. Thank God no one was hurt. So
yeah, I mean, you know, think about it. You get on the road and you blow a tire and you go out of control and you kill somebody or something. Now this is the party. This is the party of tolerance and love and compassion. You know, they're always trying to paint us out to be something evil.
Yeah.
Just because we think you're therefore they label you a Nazi because you're choosing to think about things. These people are like robotic hate soldiers. I swear. I don't think there's even cognitive reasoning going on behind their actions.
Yeah, I don't either.
Demonic.
It's wild, man. It's just wild.
I mean, think about it. Oh, we're constantly trying to win in the arena of ideas. Do we ever go, let's mobilize and go harass people, hurt people's vehicles that we don't like? Does that sound like the vocabulary of a winner, of the team you want to be on?
No. Not at all.
Nope.
Hey, here's you want to hear a little bit of Trump live?
Sure.
They put her in prison because she wouldn't reveal, but they didn't put the reporter in prison. Who knows who that person is, right? You could find that very easily. The Supreme Court could find that very easily.
I'm giving
that information to the Supreme Court.
This is Trump live in Ohio tonight. This is on RSBN.
First time it's ever happened. It's just unbelievable. But you get the information very easily. You tell the reporter, who is it? And the reporter will either tell you or not. And if the reporter doesn't want to tell you, it's bye-bye. The reporter goes to jail. And when the
So I don't know what's going on, but, it sounds like one of his typical Save America rallies, right? Mm-hmm. Let me see. It says Wisconsin polls are shaping up for Trump-endorsed candidates ahead of the midterms. He's suing. Trump sues New York Attorney General. Let me see. Extraordinary wrongdoing requires. It's going slow. I'm trying to read this, but it's scrolling so slow. Extraordinary wrongdoing requires extraordinary relief. I don't know if you guys want to go watch this stuff. I'm sure after this is already put up and running live tonight, whatever he says is going to be over. So. For you and me, Outcast, right now, we're just going to be, this will be live to everybody within 2 hours, our show tonight.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So, we don't know what he's going to say or do, but rumors are swirling that he's going to announce tonight, but who knows? MTG is there too. She's at the, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Yeah. There's a massive line hours from the beginning or from this morning. There's a massive line to get in. You know what I want to talk about before we go too was Bolsonaro in Brazil. Exactly what was happened to them down there with their stolen election just now. You know, because he was hugely popular down there in Brazil. That's, the biggest county or the biggest country down there in South America. He was their Trump pretty much down there. You know, he was against the vaccines down there, which I wish Trump was that way here. But This guy, he didn't want to force anybody to take them. He, they just loved him. But in their election, the same thing happened here. Everybody went to bed. The guy was up winning big time. And then as you woke up in the morning, you see, oh, no, he lost his lead. It's gone now. same type of crap. Now, military is involved down there in Brazil. So, you know, the people are calling for the military to step in and take over and get that guy that to get him out of office because they don't want him. He was never in the lead. He had Biden like rallies. Nobody was showing up to those things. Where Bolsonaro had rallies, and the places were packed. So we're seeing the same mm-hmm. thing play over and over again. We're seeing it from 2020 here, right down there. It's crazy.
So I have a word of caution to mm-hmm. our listeners then.
All right.
So they did it to us. We believe, many of us believe, they did it to us.
Yep.
In 2020. And then... They just did it to these people.
Yep. Oh, and those are Dominion machines too. Sorry.
Yep. Exactly. So you got George Soros Dominion-owned machines running Brazil's elections and our elections. Do you think it's going to turn out any different for us tomorrow? I'm very skeptical. I think it's going to be another steal. They obviously do not care about optics anymore. They know that the people are waking up in mass. I mean, you look at those pictures of Brazil. There are millions and millions of people on the streets expressing their disbelief in this and their election system, and they're not even, I don't think that the people in charge are batting an eye to it. So what does that mean to me? That tells me that they know that the jig is up. They know that humanity knows who they are, and they don't care anymore. Mm-hmm. They're going for the steal. They've grabbed the pendulum. It's not going to ever swing back again. In their opinion, they're going for the kill shot. They got to enslave us because we know who they are now.
Yeah.
And like, I saw a thing the other night. I can't quote it exactly, but there was something about The View, and they were ridiculing all these suburban housewives that have switched teams are now announcing that they're going to vote conservative. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to berate them and belittle them on their TV show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, obviously you realize that you've lost the popular opinion, and now you're just going to berate, belittle, and steal. They don't care. Yeah. They don't care.
That's what they do.
That's what they do.
Yep.
And I think that they're worse than ever. At least in the past, they would lose one once in a while for a later gain. I don't think that they just don't even care anymore. They're going for the whole Chinese style kill shot. They want to like lock us down and thin the herd and chip us, whatever they got planned. They got it all. You Yuval Noah Harari says everything that they have planned for us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Am I making sense?
Oh, yeah, totally. Right on.
Okay, I just think that we should look at Brazil very cautiously, not go, oh, I'm inspired, the people are on the street. No, you should be, watch this very carefully, because they're showing what they're going to be doing here. Mm-hmm. They're going to steal whatever they want. They don't care what it looks like anymore.
Well,
they don't even care if it's believable.
I've got the same gut feeling on that, too. It looks like there was a total red wave building all summer. Mm-hmm. with nobody wants Gretchen Whitmer around here. We can't stand her. Look at Carrie Lake. She's kicking ass down there in Arizona. So is Blake Masters. He's doing good. So look at Oz. He's running against Lurch over there in Pennsylvania. You know, they got to run, Obama out from wherever his control command center is in some beach somewhere, right? To come up and help stump for these morons.
Well, and since you brought Obama up, this is a visual I want to paint in our listeners' minds, too. Look it up for yourself. I think it's Time Magazine. When Obama was in office, they did a cover story with Obama, and they had him in the pose of Shiva, the Hindu god of chaos.
Yep.
Okay? Just remember that visual in the coming days when they say, oh, we can't get the numbers right. Oh, we have to do a recount. Oh, we should postpone the election. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is going to take years to sort out. Oh, because why? Chaos is how they reign.
Yes.
That's how the devil works. There's a statue of Shiva out in front of the CERN in Switzerland. Yep. And they've already painted this picture themselves on the cover of Time Magazine, Obama in the Shiva pose. Okay.
Hey, order out of chaos.
They don't even care.
Yep. Order out of chaos. That's what that is.
There you go.
You know, that's so how they can't win the hearts and minds of people. So they have to run game on them by, you know, and that game can be all kinds of stuff, like what you're saying, order out of chaos, or it can be in the courts. They can pressure judges to enact things that really the people don't want. That's the only way they can win, because their ideas suck ass. They're communist in nature. They always have been. You know what? The Democrat Party has never changed. It's just that the people have awakened to what it is.
Yeah.
They've been evil since the beginning.
Yep. Yep.
And I'm not a party guy. You know that. And you're not either. None of us here we don't want to be party people. But I'm telling you, that party right there has been evil from the beginning.
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to say, in the coming days, when you watch this election get really stupid and messy, just remember Obama in that pose of Shiva. Just think of that as you watch everything go to garbage.
Totally.
That's my fear.
Yeah. Well, brother, we've covered a lot of ground here. And, you know, tomorrow's a big day. You guys got to get out there and do your voting and stuff. I hope that people took their time in the last few months here and studied who's on the ballots. I did. You know, that's why I'm sending out my voter guide out to everybody. You know, I put it out there on Facebook and I put it on wherever I'm at, just to let people know, my local people. I don't use Facebook for other than, it's not part of the show. I don't do much there. I just, to reach my people, that's all that is. And, you know, I use Instagram for the show, along with, you know, True Social and Gab and Telegram. But I just, wherever your people are, you guys, if you can reach them before they go tomorrow and reassure them, make sure they vote no on all these proposals, all these issue ballots, all these things. Vote no, because we can't afford it. We don't need it. All right. They're doing deceptive things, and you got to catch them and stop them. And, you know, I'm praying to God that things go our way tomorrow, because if any of these changes here happen, our unborn kids tomorrow with this vote, it's just, I don't know, brother. I see satanic, evil, dark things if it goes the wrong way tomorrow. But, politicians, no matter who they are, they're not here to save us. Only you and I can do that. We can save ourselves, all right? When it comes down to it, God told us it's us. If not us, then who?
Yep.
So with that, brother, I want you to, if you have any last words before we get going, I want you to have you, you know, give us an outgoing message about tomorrow, maybe about the week coming. You know, what are we looking at? You know, we're heading into the multiple holiday season now. November, December, great months. I love them. A lot of good memories made in those months. So, but we got to get over this big day tomorrow. What do you have to say for the people, or what do you have for the people tomorrow?
So, this is kind of I'm going to tie it in, but I think it's definitely relatable to tomorrow and everything we've been talking about. But this is, I'm going to read from Ezekiel 33, mm-hmm. and it's titled Ezekiel, a Watchman. And I'm going to follow it up with a few words, and I'll try not to be too long winded. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, speak to your countrymen and say to them, when I bring the sword against a land and the people of the land choose one of their men, and make him their watchman, and he sees the sword coming against the land and blows the trumpet to warn the people, then if anyone hears the trumpet but does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes his life, his blood will be on his own head. Since he heard the sound of the trumpet but did not take warning, his blood will be on his own head. If he had taken warning, he would have saved himself. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet and warn the people, and the sword comes and takes the life of one of them, the man will be taken away because of his sin. But I will hold the watchman accountable for his blood. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways. But the wicked man will die for his sin and will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man to turn from his ways and he does not do so, he will die of his own sin, but you will have saved yourself. Okay, now let me unpack that just for a second. To every one of our listeners, I want to say this. In your own sphere of influence, you are a watchman. I am a watchman. Jesse's a watchman. Patriot M's a watchman. All our friends on the Patriot Text Thread are watchmen. We are watchmen for our brothers and sisters. So therefore, to relate it to the voting tomorrow, if you have sphere of influence with your friends, keep them up to speed on these proposals and to vote no on them. Okay. If you have a brother in the Lord and you see them straying from their path, lovingly correct them and be the watchman. If you see dark things coming from people named Yuval Noah Harari or Klaus Schwab or the Wolek, warn your friends and family. If you see people dabbling in the black arts and they think it's cool to be worshiping Satan or playing around with Wicca and all this other crap, and you say nothing, then you are the watchman who said nothing and the blood will be on your hands. But if you warn them and they still make bad choices, you are absolved of that sin. We are all watchmen in our own sphere of influence. You may have a sphere of influence that's smaller than some people, and you may have a large sphere of influence. You may be very popular with a large swath of friends, but regardless, we are all watchmen. This show, this podcast is about being a watchman, spiritually, politically, and otherwise. So here's an anecdotal but true story. A regular listener and my brother in the Lord, Richard, out in California, he had a pastor moved back to town that was working on the East Coast for a while, called him in and said, hey, I want you to help me with this church I'm working on. And when Richard came to help him, this pastor was rambling on about LGBTQ and pronouns and all this other stuff. And Richard defiantly said, no, I am not indulging you in this conversation. We are not doing this. And the guy kept pushing and Richard kept pushing back. And long story short, Richard was being a watchman. Richard was standing up for what he knew was right in the Bible, and he knew that this guy was lost. And you know what this pastor ended up saying to him at the end of the day? Richard, I need you to do, I knew that I could count on you for setting me straight. I got sucked into the world and I got a little lost, but I knew that if I called on you, you would stand up to me.
Wow.
People are sometimes they're dying for you to stand up. I have other brothers in the Lord. I actually, my buddy Jacob, another brother of mine, we were just talking this week, and we correct each other or we point out where we're getting a little off base or lost or backsliding. Okay. It's going to happen to all of us, but we're being watchmen to each other. Iron sharpens iron. But in this case, be a watchman, sound the alarm to your friends, tell them, you know, if they're ignorant to the proposals and they're being bamboozled by the wording, be the watchman. If they choose not to hear you, it's on their head.
Man, that's good stuff. Be the watchman. I like that. That's really good.
I got that from my Bible study teacher this week.
Yeah.
I'm just rehashing it.
Man, that's good. Well, and I agree with you, brother. That's what we have to be. Everybody, we all have to be the watchman, right? It's time right now for that. And it's time to rise up. You know, it's time to be bold, like I always say here. And I'll just say it in here in a few minutes. But I just want to thank our guest, Chris Ann Hall. Go check her out at chrisannhall.com and libertyfirstsociety.com. And also to you, Outcast, for bringing the heat again tonight. A lot of good stuff on this pre-election night. No amnesty for the wicked. So, yeah, no amnesty from me. If you guys are looking for that, go look for somewhere else. Hopefully you'll find it in the jail cell. So, and also to you guys, we want to thank you guys, the Dangerous Info Patriots. Thanks to you guys for listening to the show and especially for sharing the show with everybody you know. We need your help. We need you to be the watchman for this show, right? Help us grow it. We want you to read the description of tonight's show. Down below is where you find all the links in the show notes and all the all the relevant information to reach us, all right? So on social media, you can find me at True Social, Instagram, Gab, and Telegram. And also, don't forget to join the mailing list, all right? You guys click down below in the description. You'll see it. It's the most important way to stay connected when social media is eventually wiped out. So email the show today. info@jessejames.com. That's easy, right? Also, thanks again, you guys, for listening to the show. I'm Jesse James, and he's Outcast. And as you guys go through the week, remember to be bold, stay alert, and don't fall for the media, the propaganda that's coming to you at every level, all right? There's solutions to all of this stuff. So it's up to you guys to wake up to those solutions and act on those solution ideas. We love you guys. Stay dangerous, my Patriot friends. Stay dangerous. The word smart, right? Remember when smart came along? Smart car, smart phone, smart meter, smart watch, smart everything. People, you know, I knew right away when I first heard it, it was, you know, S-M-A-R-T. People just think it's smart, like intelligent. It's not, okay? Smart, what it stands for, it's an acronym. Self-monitoring, analysis, and reporting technology. Smart.
I had no idea.
I'm going to repeat that again. Self-monitoring, analysis, and reporting technology. Okay.
Wow.
What this